This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and we're joined now all the way from London in the UK by Lucy Charles. Lucy, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us today.
Hi, Brad. Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you very much.
Lucy, I wanted to chat to you about swimming in particular around an Ironman. You come from a very competitive swimming background. Your swimming splits are incredible. I mean, you swam a 52.20 in Kona in 2015. Obviously, coming from that competitive swimming background, it definitely helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a big help. I mean, especially as I was an open water swimmer, so I'm not fazed by the swim starts and things like that. In fact, I actually thrive off that sort of stuff. So that is a big help for me.
Lucy, have you found that you've let your swim slide, knowing that you come from that sort of background, that in order to sort of be up with the top girls in your age group, you probably don't have to put as much work in the water as they would?
Yeah, I mean, my swim is certainly not where it used to be, and I have had to let it slip, and I've had to really push on with the bike and run. However, I feel that I've started to work on it a little bit more again, because I really want to keep that as my strength, as I do like coming out ahead. That's how I like to race. So I definitely want to keep working on it and keep it at the level that it is.
I mean, swimming has been a part of your life for such a long time, but if you have to think throughout your swimming career, Is there one thing that you can put your finger on that you can say, you know what, doing that has made a huge difference and improved my swim big time?
I mean, I got to compete at the top level, so I got to compete at some World Cup events against the best open water swimmers that they are. And that really did push me, because I wasn't really coming anywhere in those sort of races. So it was getting used to competing right at the top, and that did spur me on, and it did make me train a lot harder in the pool as well.
Just as a sort of ordinary age group, I mean, you could almost emulate that by getting involved in swim squads and making sure you're swimming with better people than yourself as often as you can.
Oh, certainly. I mean, that's definitely a big help, is swimming with the swim squads. And I do occasionally nip in and out of swim squads and do some of their sessions. However, I am very lucky to have Rhys to train with. So we do push each other quite a bit in the pool, to say the least.
Yeah, Rhys, your boyfriend, also qualified for Kona in 2015, also comes from a competitive swimming background. Do you find that could be to, I don't want to say to your detriment, but you obviously race each other quite hard in the pool and in training. Is there a danger in doing that?
I mean, we're both very good at listening to our body. So if we're not feeling it and one of us is, then we'll just let the other one take the lead on that swim session. We are very competitive. I was always a distance swimmer, and Rhys was always a sprint swimmer. So for him, he's come a really long way to upping his endurance and distance stuff. So sometimes I find that quite hard, that he's right on my toes or even ahead of me in the pool. But it's definitely good. I wouldn't say it's a detriment. We do really help each other out in the pool.
As far as workouts go and sets, what are some of your favorite things to do that you feel give you the best sort of workouts?
So in the pool, I mean, out of all the three disciplines, swimming is the one that I would probably like to give a miss in when it comes to training. I think just because I've done it for so many years, I find it quite boring, and I've probably done most of the swim sets that I can even think of. I've probably done them. But if I'm going to get in the pool, I like to do a fairly tough set of 100s or 200s, at least sort of 3K, really working at the threshold and trying to push ourselves on. And then it seems to go quite quickly, the session, really.
And then, I mean, the gaps that you would take between those, if you're doing hundreds or 200s, I mean, you're doing like large amounts in that set. What sort of break would you be taking between each one of those?
Yeah, I mean, we take fairly short rest intervals, sort of even as little as 10 seconds, just to really keep that threshold up and keep the heart rate up while we're working. So it can be quite tough.
Coming from that competitive swimming background and looking at other age groupers, could you sort of look at other age groupers and go, you know what, there's certain things that age groupers do and mistakes that they make that if they change one or two little things that would improve their performance quite a bit. Have you picked up on any of those?
I mean, yeah, it's quite easy to sort of look at people's strokes and see actually if you just neaten that up, or a lot of triathletes, especially age groupers, do tend to miss the catch phase on their stroke, and if they were just adding that in, it would make a huge difference. That definitely does help.
All right. So, and it's also a case of, you know what, get help. We spoke about coaching the last time we chatted, but a lot of triathletes sort of don't really value what a swim coach could do for them, out swim coach. But you talk about that fixing little things in technique. It can make a huge difference and definitely worthwhile doing.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely. And something sort of like video analysis has a massive, massive effect, because sometimes you can think you're doing something, or you think your stroke looks a certain way, and it, when you see it back on video, it certainly doesn't. I mean, when I was a elite swimmer, I was convinced I had the neatest, most perfect stroke, but I can assure you, I most definitely do not. It's just that is what works for me. So.
And you also get into to bad habits. I mean, the longer you do this and the better you think you get, it's easy to pick up bad habits. And often the way to pick those up and stop doing them is by having someone else look at your stroke or do some video analysis.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's got to be the biggest thing you can do to help your swim stroke.
I love that. Lucy, thank you so much for joining us once again here on the Cone Edge. Much appreciated. We look forward to catching up again next time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Lovely to be on here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Cone Edge. Don't forget, if you'd like to be in touch, I love hearing from you. If there's an age grouper you think we should chat to who's raced on the Big Island, my email address goes straight into my inbox, brad@theconeedge.com. Also, don't forget, we've got an exclusive online community that you can join right now. Just go to theconeedge.com/join. That's where you can get all the details. We'd love to have you in there. It's a very, very engaged community. And I've always believed that you become like the five people you hang out with. Why not hang out with some of the best triathletes in the world? So there you go. theconeedge.com/join.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. If you want to improve your swim, be sure to check out our next free live online swim seminar. Get to theconeedge.com/swimseminar to sign up now.